for this wonderful, auspicious occasion and the opportunity to preach to God's people here at this beautiful church. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. I really feel that the Lord has laid something on my heart, and it'd be great to share with you this morning. So it's certainly been a very hot week, hasn't it? And we've got a few more days of hot weather, but we're surviving, we're moving forward, we're conquerors, amen. And so if you have your Bibles open, if you can please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verses 1. Amen. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verses 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See how the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and live, and let every man take a beam, and there let us make there a place that we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." And so he reached out, held his hand out, and took it. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing and his favor to his word. Can we just bow our heads in a word of prayer, please? Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we consider it a great joy and a privilege to be here in the presence of one another, in fellowship with each other. And Lord, come here to glorify you and to uplift the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Jesus would be glorified this morning. We're reminded of the word where it says, if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. And Lord, we're here not to glorify ourselves. We're not here to pay honor to a man. But Lord, we're all humble servants in the mighty hand of God. We're vessels that are desiring to be used by you to further your kingdom. We're on a mission. And Lord, we're fighting against the powers and the principalities of darkness. We're at war. We're not playing games. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips and beating around the bush. We're called to be warriors and to advance the cause of the kingdom. So with this in mind, Lord, we pray that we would be open to the word this morning. May we be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to each one of us. Lord, I just pray that we would go from this place this morning knowing that you have spoken directly into our hearts. But Lord, it's one thing to hear, but Lord, we pray that we may act upon the word of God and be participators in this great, exciting cause of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We honor you, we love you, and we serve you. In Jesus' name, and all God's mighty people said, amen. Amen. This morning I want to speak on the subject, the cutting edge. You know, today we live in an age where there is so much advancement in technology. The word cutting edge means innovative. It means advanced. It means relative. It means going forward. That's what cutting edge is all about. And so today we're living in a society where we have cutting edge technology. We have cutting edge medical breakthrough. We're advancing in our knowledge and in our understanding. In fact, the Bible tells us in Daniel, and Daniel prophesied that in the end days that we would advance in knowledge. You know, that people will come to and fro and knowledge will increase throughout the ends of the world. And we see that happening today. We're living in the closing days of time. I really believe that we're living in the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have to be cutting-edge people, believing in a cutting-edge God. You know, when we look at cutting edge, I can remember a time over 60 years ago that the only computers you ever heard about were those big dinosaur computers that were housed in big buildings and would cost millions of dollars. Do you know that today I can stand here in front of you and hold a little computer in the palm of my hand, and at the tap of a button, a world of information, you know, explodes right before my eyes. We're living in the age of great technological breakthrough. I mean, I've got my watch here. Do you know that I can do an ECG with my watch? My watch can tell me how fast my heart is beating at this present moment in time. It tells me how many steps I can take during the day. It tells me my sleep patterns and my body temperature, and the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, you talk about modern day cutting edge technology. We're surrounded by it. But you know, friends, at the end of the day, what we need is a cutting edge faith. Amen. We need a cutting edge anointing. We need a cutting edge message. And you know, with technology, it's here one day, but it becomes old in the days to come. But how many of you know, friends, that we have a cutting edge word of God? And it's forever. You know, it never dates. It's, it was written over a period of 15,000 years. 1,500 years by 44 different authors, but it never changes. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. You know, I'm reminded of Voltaire. I don't know whether any of you remember the French philosopher Voltaire, and he once said there would be a day when the Bible will be old-fashioned. You would never hear again of the Bible. And the only time that you would hear of the Bible is in the museums. Well, I want to tell you that Voltaire died. Voltaire died. And his house was bought by the Geneva Bible Convention. And they bought his house. Hallelujah. And they started distributing Bibles throughout the world. So Voltaire is dead, but the Bible lives on forever. Amen. And so we have this cutting-edge Bible, and we need to be a cutting-edge people having a cutting-edge faith with a cutting-edge anointing. What does it mean to have a cutting edge? It simply means to be passionately in love with Jesus. It means to be attuned to the Word of God. It means to have that enthusiasm, that energy, that excitement that can only come from God. And I'm telling you, friends, what we definitely need today is certainly a cutting-edge faith. We need to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing throughout the world today. If we're not, then we're going to diminish. We're going to fade away. You know, the churches are going to continue to decline. So what we definitely need is a Holy Ghost spiritual revival that will so erupt within our midst that we would see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords advance with great power. We need revival. We need a cutting-edge faith in the times that we're living in. And so, you know, the Bible tells us it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and by the way, there are two things that cause us to diminish in our cutting-edge faith. First of all, if you've lost your cutting-edge faith, it can be caused by a diminished ability to tap into the voice of God. In other words, you're not hearing the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. You know, and I'm reminded of Elijah. Elijah didn't hear the voice of God in the earthquake. He didn't hear the voice of God in the wind. He didn't hear the voice of God in the storm. But he heard the still, small voice of God. Why? Because he was attuned to the voice of God. And it's when we have diminished hearing, spiritual hearing, that we really lose out on what God is wanting to do in our own personal lives and in the life of the church. We need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. We need to be attuned to the Word of God. And so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull in your hearing. The Bible, the Living Bible, says there is much more that we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. And so here we have the writer to Hebrews explaining to the church why people are dull in hearing. They've lost their sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit of God. They cannot hear what God has to say. And we're reminded in the Gospels where Jesus says, you have ears, but you cannot hear. You have eyes, but you cannot see. And I pray for us as a church that we, you personally, myself, and we as a corporate church would hear what the Spirit of God has to say in this day and age that we're living in. The Bible tells us that the sons of Issachar, they understood the times that they were living in. Why? Because they had an ear that was attuned to the things of the Spirit. If we're not knowing the signs of the times, then we're going to be led astray. We're going to diminish and be dull in our sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. And so we need to be sharp. We need to be attuned to the things of the Spirit. We need to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing in these days that we're living in. You know, we're living in turbulent times. We're living in times where people are filled with fear, filled with anxiety. There's so much uncertainty in the world today. We're on the brink of another war as Russia is preparing to invade Ukraine. And then we have division in the church. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Satan is at work, but we are at war. You know, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but it's the violent that take it by force. And so we can't be on the back foot beating around the bush playing church. We've got to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing throughout the earth today. We've got to become like the sons of Issachar who heard what the Lord had to say for his church. Amen. And the sons of Issachar were able then to tell the prophets and to tell the kings as to what to do and the direction to go and what have you. So let's be attuned to the things of the Spirit. If you have become dull in your hearing, then you've lost the cutting edge. You're not in tune with what God is doing in your life. You're not in tune with what God is doing throughout the world today. Secondly, if you're going to lose your cutting edge, you will lose and diminish in your usefulness. You know, every one of us have been called to be used by God. You're a tool in the hands of God. God has given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you the wherewithal to advance the kingdom of God. But if you lose your cutting edge, you diminish in your sensitivity to the things of God. You diminish in your usefulness. You know, I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 14, where, you know, it talks about an angel prophesying, and he sees the Son of Man on a big white cloud, and he's got a crown of gold on his head, and he's got a sharp sickle in his hand. And the angel cries out, Son of Man, descend to the earth. Thrust forth your sickle and reap a harvest, for the time is right. Son of Man, thrust yourself down to the earth and reap a harvest, for the time is right. You know, friends, we are living in wonderful times. I couldn't think of a better time to preach the gospel than the day and the age that we are living in. And you know, friends, God doesn't have plan B. He's only got plan A. And God's plan for us, the church, is that we be sharpened sickles. You know, God could have called 1,000 angels to represent him here on planet Earth. He could have called them to proclaim the gospel, but he didn't. You and I are called to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that God makes his appeal through you and I. We're called to be the sharpened sickle. We're called to be witnesses throughout the earth. God has given to us a ministry of reconciliation where we can stand between God and we can stand between God and man and bring man and God together again. He's called us to be a witness. A witness is a person that speaks of the things that they have seen and the things that they have heard. I'm reminded of Peter and John. Was it James and John who stood before the Sanhedrin, and they were told to stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, to which they replied to the Sanhedrin, "Judge for yourself, should we obey God or should we obey man? We cannot help but speak of the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard." So let me tell you, friends, your time here on earth is not just an existence from the womb to the tomb. Your time here on earth is purposeful. God has placed within your hand a sharpened sickle. He's given to us the command to preach the gospel. He's given to us the command to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. On one God, God, through Jesus Christ, has fulfilled his ministry of reconciliation in dying for us on Calvary's cross. But on the other hand, he's given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation, to stand between man and God and bring man and God together. Amen. Thus fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation. So you are a sharpened sickle. And the big question we need to ask ourselves, are we being used by the hand of God? God doesn't have feet that he can walk to spread the gospel. He doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have the God has called us to be his community. God has called us to engage this world with the gospel. Amen. We are the hands of God. We are the feet of God. We are the eyes of God. We are the ears of God. God uses his church. He's equipped us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. No plan B, no plan C. We are God's plan A to reach this world. And so the big question I need to ask you today, do we see ourselves on the cutting edge? Do we really, really feel that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying today? Do we see ourselves as a sharpened instrument, a sharpened sickle in the hands of God? Or are we just going through the motions from day to day? Just for a few moments, I want to share with you the characteristics, if you would. I want to share with you some principles that you can apply to your life so that you can be on the cutting edge of what God is doing throughout the life, throughout the world. So here we have a wonderful story. Here we have a story of a young prophet, who've suggested to Elisha, the master, that they wanted to build a bigger Bible college, if you would. And they asked Elisha to join him, and he agreed. And so they went out into the forest, and they started cutting down trees and falling trees because they wanted to extend the Bible college. They wanted to extend it and enlarge it. And so they went out, and they started cutting down these beams. And there was one young prophet, as he was cutting away, without knowing it, without acknowledging it, his axe head flew off his shank and into the dirty, murky waters of the Jordan River. And now he felt terrible because this axe was borrowed. He was responsible. He was accountable for this axe head. And so he felt terrible for what had just happened. And so he ran to the master and he cried out, "Master, Master, I've lost my axe head. It was borrowed." And then the master said, "Where did you lose it?" Took him back to where it was lost. A branch was cut down, thrown into the waters. A miracle happened, and the axe head floated, and then he was told to pick it up. Wonderful, amazing story. But in this particular story, there are some wonderful principles that we can apply to our Christian walk. We can apply these principles to regaining or relocating or having our cutting edge restored. How many of us here this morning would love to have our cutting edge restored? Oh, I don't know about you, but I've been through some valley experiences of late. I have been through some dry periods. I tell you, we come back from Africa and we saw the power of God moving mightily, and we planted a great church, and we left there on a real, real high. And then came back to Australia, and we just had one challenge after another. But I've got to tell you, friends, if there's something that I'm wanting more than anything else, and that's to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing throughout the world today. Time for playing games is over. We're not beating around the bush or tiptoeing through the tulips or pussyfooting around. God has called us to be on the cutting edge. And so the first thing that I pick up in this particular scripture is simply this. Take responsibility. Now this young man, when he lost the cutting edge, he didn't blame anybody else. And you know, so often we suffer from what we call a bad dose of blamatitis. We're quick to blame others for the lack. We're quick to blame others for our problems. We're quick to blame others for the loss of our cutting edge. Oh, it's all your fault. Adam and Eve, they did the same thing. Eve blamed, it was all her fault. Not really. But they both blamed each other. Isn't that right? And that's happened from generation to generation. We're quick at blaming others. And you know, friends, if you blame others for the loss of your cutting edge, you will never, never have your cutting edge restored. Take responsibility. It's so important that we take responsibility. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your pastor. You can't blame that person or any other person. You've got to take responsibility for yourself. It's too easy to cast the blame on others. It's too easy to say, well, it's all your fault. If that pastor had done the right thing, I wouldn't have lost the church. I wouldn't have left the church and I wouldn't be here today. It's all their fault. See, we're quick. We all suffer from a bad dose of blamatitis, don't we? All your fault. Adam and Eve blaming one another. Look at the children of Israel. Why did Moses bring us out of Egypt? And now we're going to die like dogs in the wilderness. We would have been better off staying in Egypt. And as a result of their disease of blamatitis, they never entered into the fullness of God's blessing. They wandered around the desert for 40 years. My encouragement to you, friends, is that we own our own lack, that we take responsibility. I can't blame you. You can't blame me. We can't blame one another. You know, I'm so thankful. My son at one time had a real problem, and it really set him on a downward spiral towards real problems. But there came a time when he had to take responsibility. He had to love and he had to forgive and he had to make get a move on. And that's what we all have to do. We've got to learn to forgive. And secondly, don't allow yourself to be condemned. You know, Satan, he's good at condemning us. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but it's the devil that will condemn us. And what happens is simply this. Satan will come up and he'll get alongside you and he'll whisper into your ear and say, well, you're a failure. You're a loser. Look what you've done in the past. You've never been able to get your life straightened out. This is the way that it is. He'll continue to condemn you. He'll continue to whisper things in your ear and pull you down. He doesn't want you to grow and develop in your relationship with God. He's going to do everything in his power to bring condemnation upon you. But you know, friends, the Word of God says that if we confess our sin, he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all sin. Amen. So come on, friends. Let's not blame others. Let's take responsibility. God has given us wonderful gifts. You know that everything that we have doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to God. My car out there is not mine. It belongs to God. My wife is not mine. She belongs to God. My children are not mine. They belong to God. I am a custodian. I am a steward. I am a manager of all that God has given to me. And therefore, God has mandated me with the responsibility of being a good custodian, of being a good husband, a good father, a good manager of all the resources that God has given to me. I can't blame someone else for my failures. I've got to take responsibility, and I've failed to allow Satan to come along and whisper negativity into my ears and telling me that I'm a failure. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Don't accept condemnation. Don't accept failure. If you feel as though you've lost your cutting edge, then now is the time. Now is the day. Now is the season to have your cutting edge restored. Take responsibility. Amen. Is everybody with me so far? Amen. Okay, secondly, don't continue to go on through the motions. In other words, when this man, this young prophet, he was cutting down, I want to tell you, he was diligent, this young man. He was a hard-working young guy. Where he failed was in his watchfulness. He failed to realize that with every striking blow against the trunk of the tree, his axe head was starting to slip off the shank, until eventually that axe head flew off the shank and into the murky waters of the Jordan River. He failed in his watchfulness. And so often, friends, that's where we fail. We fail in our watchfulness. We're not observing the ways of God, the plans of God. We're not reading our Bibles and understanding the Word of God for ourselves for this season and time. We fail in our watchfulness. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the thing is this. A lot of people, because they feel as though they're not cutting it, they just go through the motions. They've got their shiny axe head. They've got the, not the shiny axe head, they've got the shank. And they're chopping away, chopping away with their beautiful shank, but there's no cutting edge. We're just going through the motions week after week. We're like on, it's as though we're on the treadmill of life. Same old, day in, day out. Go to work, go to church, go, you know, day in, week after week, month after month, and year after year. We just go through the motions with our great shank, with our handle, but no cutting edge. We lift our hands in worship. Oh, and we sing the beautiful songs. Oh, I tell you, we hear the sermons, but I'm telling you, we're far from what God wants of us. We're really not on the cutting edge. We just go through the motions week after week after week. Friends, there's got to come a time where we stop, amen, and hear what the Lord has to say to us. You know, the Bible tells us, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, not as unto man, but as unto God. So we can go through the motions. I can sit up here and go through the motions. You say, oh, what a great pastor, what a great... But come on, if my heart's far from God and I'm not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, then all I'm doing is just simply going through the motions. We've got to get onto the cutting edge. We've got to stop. We've got to evaluate our lives. That's why the Bible says, you know, when we take communion, examine yourselves. Allow the searchlight of the Holy Spirit to shine into your spirit and reveal to you areas that need changes in your life. Let's stop going through the motions, friends. Let's stop dilly-dallying and playing church. Now, I know, I'm a pastor and I've been there. I go through seasons where I feel so dry on the inside. I just feel like, you know, oh gosh, I'm having to preach today and I don't feel like preaching. And I've been through these seasons. I know what it's like to go through the motions week after week, but I'm tired of it. I want the reality. I want the cutting edge. I want the power and the anointing of God's Spirit to flow. I want to see God pour out His Spirit and bring revival upon the nations of this world. I want every moment, every hour, every minute of my life count for Jesus. I don't want to play games. You know, we've been given a certain amount of time in all of eternity to make a difference for Jesus. This is our season. This is our time. God has anointed you for such a time as this. Amen. This is your moment in time. The harvest is ripe. Great opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So number three, he asked, number three, where did this prophet go to that lost his axe? Where did he go to when he lost the axe? Can anyone tell me? He went to the master. He didn't go to another man. He went to the master. You know, so often we go to the wrong place. You know, I'm reminded when I first came into the ministry, and I had my first church, which was Peak Hill in New South Wales, and I had a small little congregation there when we started, and I remember going to visit this lady on her farm, and she told me this story, and I have to tell you the whole story. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but there's a simple truth in it. She said to me, "You know, Pastor, I went out to herd up my sheep on my motorbike, and I got myself into a precarious situation. I was on my motorbike on a steep hill when all of a sudden my motorbike cut out. And I couldn't go forward and I couldn't go back because my motorbike was going to fall on top of me. And so I had to dig my heel in. And the first thing that came to my mind was, what would Kenneth Copeland do in this situation?" I said, "Can you just run that by me one more time?" She said, "What would Kenneth Copeland do in this situation?" I thought to myself, forget Kenneth Copeland, for goodness sake. What's he going to do for you? You need to be going to Jesus. Because what would Jesus do? WWJD. Isn't that right? Is it something like that? What would Jesus do in this situation? Not with Kenneth Copeland. And the problem with the church today, we've got a culture where we so honor and we so respect the senior pastor. And I believe in honor. And I believe in respect. I believe that God has appointed men. Pastor David, myself, and others. There's a gift upon our lives for the preaching of the gospel. And yes, they need honor. They need respect. But when the church and the pastors put themselves up as a celebrity, then we've got a problem. And today throughout the earth, we see a celebrity status throughout many, many churches. We've got our big screens, we've got our skinny jeans, and we've got our fog machines. What we need is a dose of the Holy Ghost. What we need is to be on the cutting edge of the power of God's Spirit. Come on. Amen. Let's take our eyes off man. That's why I hate it when, if you don't mind me saying this, I'm no different from anyone else. In fact, I feel when people, you know, boost me up, I feel, oh boy. And I feel the pressure. I feel the expectation. I'm only a mortal man. I've just got the passion of God on my heart. I just want to preach the gospel. I'm no different from you, you know. And so we don't elevate man to a great status. You know what I mean? You know, God will share His glory with no man. He won't share it. And you know, I learned this lesson many, many years ago. You know, as a young pastor, there was a great evangelist, and I won't mention names because I still watch him to this day, after many, many years of not watching him. But this great evangelist, I mean, he was the prince of preachers. I mean, he could preach up a storm. He would see hundreds, thousands saved. And every time this guy preached, I mean, I would hang off every word. I sat in awe of the power of God that was resting upon this man. I'm telling you, I'd love to preach like this man. And then one day I heard that this man had fallen into sin. And I'm telling you, you can ask my wife, she will tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was so, so discouraged. I was so disappointed. I mean, he was my hero. This guy I put on a pedestal, he was great. He was the man of power for the hour. He was awesome. But when he fell, came off that pedestal, I was knocked for a six. You know why, friends? Because I had my eyes on a man rather on God. And God will share His glory with no man. And so what we really need to do is honor man. Yes, great. Great. Just, but because they've got big churches or great ministries, it means nothing. They're still mortal men who have been talented, gifted, and maybe blessed with a few more people than other people. But when we start to put ourselves on a pedestal, thinking that we're greater than others because we have bigger churches, then we've got a problem. It's hero worship. It's hero worship. And it's not good. It's not good. We will never experience cutting-edge ministry if we continue to place men on a pedestal. Can you just give me a big West Point amen?
Amen.
Are you with me this morning? Okay, next point. Okay, he said, the man of God said, where did it fall? Where did the axe head fall? Where did it fall? It fell in the water. But then what did the man of God say? He said, where did it fall? Okay, show me. All right. The place of departure is the place of relocation. The man of God said, take me to where it fell. And you know, friends, that's where we need to go. Where did you lose your cutting edge? Where did you lose that anointing? Where did you start to grow cold? Where did you start to lose your sensitivity to the things of the Spirit? Where did you start to lose your usefulness in the hand of God? Go back to where you lost it. Go back to where you lost it. Maybe it's a root of bitterness. Go back to where you lost it. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. Go back to where you lost it. Maybe it's an argument and you've never been able to resolve it. And God is saying, go back to where you lost it. Maybe it's over a period of time, you stopped reading your Bible, you stopped praying, you stopped fasting, you stopped seeking the face of God. And God is saying, go back to where you lost it. Go back, go back, go back. Go back to where you lost it. We call this repentance. Repentance is an inward decision followed by an outward action. Repent, turn back, go back, go back, go back. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we need to be asking the question, every one of us here today, every one of us, including Judy and I, where did we lose it? Do we really want to continue on in the favor and the blessing of God? Do we really, really want to be used of God? Then we've got to go back to where we lost it. Go back to the Word. Go back to prayer. Go back to seeking God. And by the way, don't let age be an excuse. You know, just because we think we're getting older and older and older, we can say, oh, I've been there, done all that. No way! You're not finished and God's not finished with you until you've been taken to heaven. Whilst there's breath in the lung, whilst there's blood circulating through the vein, God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for every one of us. I'm 68 years of age, and I'm telling you, it would be so easy for me to capitulate, you know, say, well, I've done my bit for Jesus. I've planted heaps of churches. I've done evangelism. I've been from place to place. Now it's my turn to rest. I'm telling you, I've tried it for a week. And you can ask Judy, I feel like a bear with a sore head. I feel like a lion all caged up. I sit at home and I put the YouTubes on and I'm so bored. I can't stand watching TV no more. I want to be out doing what God has called me to do. We got a gospel to preach, souls to be saved, churches to be planted, souls to be discipled. Are you with me this morning? Or do you just think I'm just a raving lunatic? No. I can't go to the grave until I'm doing what God has told me to do. I want to be on the cutting edge of revival. I want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing today. I want to be on that cutting edge. I don't want to be in my reclining chair dying because my bones are all getting stiff and I get out of my chair and I'm like this. No way! Never, never, never! There's a mission to be completed, a task to be accomplished. The hand of God is upon me, and the hand of God is upon you. Go back. What point am I on? Go back. What point am I? Whatever it is. I think I'm on four. Yeah, four. Here we are. Go back. Go back. Okay. Because the place of departure is the place that you recover it. And I remember those times, you know, when I'd be reading the Word and I'd be praying. And I felt the power and the anointing of God upon my life. I used to go preaching and God would confirm his words with signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't you think that God wants to do that today? If all we can talk about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that took place in our lives 60 years ago, then we're not accomplishing what God wants to do in our life in the now. Because God is the God of the now. Hallelujah. He is a cutting-edge God. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He never changes. Amen. Never changes. Get back. Go back to where you lost it. What number am I? Yeah. Number five. How much time have I got left? How much time? No, Judy, I've got to preach tonight as well, and I've got to save a little bit of energy. I've got 15 minutes left.
No.
I'm finished. 5 minutes! 5 minutes to share one more, two more, three more points. Okay, the next point. The man of God said to him, go and cut the branch down. Go and cut the branch down. So he cut the branch, threw it into the water. Do you know that that branch represents the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the Bible tells us 2,000 years ago, our branch, Jesus Christ. The Bible, Old Testament will tell you, I can find you all the scriptures that Jesus is the branch. Amen. And 2,000 years ago, he was cut down. And our sin and our sickness, our pain, our brokenness was placed upon him. And he went to the cross, suffering an excruciating, painful death, suspended between heaven and hell. He was the cross. He was the Son of God who was crucified, taking your shame, your brokenness, your despair upon himself. And you know, friends, if we've lost our cutting edge, the first place we need to go to is to God. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. And if you want refuge, you need to run to him. You need to come back to the cross. You need to bow your all at the feet of Jesus. At the cross where I first saw the light. At the cross where the burden of my heart. What happened to the burden of my heart? What had happened to the burden? It rolled away. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I am all the time. Amen. Get back to the cross. We don't hear much preaching on the cross today. We need to get back to the cross. We need to be preaching repentance. We need to be preaching the fire and the power of God. We need to die to self. For I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. And if you read about the old revivalists of the past, they're not self-glorifying men. They humbled themselves before the mighty hand of God. They got back to the cross and they lay hours before God praying and seeking God with all their heart, soul, and mind. Here we live on a diet of motivation from the Christian celebrities. Oh, for crying in a bucket. Let's get back to the cross. Amen. Let's get back to where God would have us, at the foot of the cross. Let's repent and come to the cross by faith and receive our sight. Give me a big West Point. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning? Or am I just really just hyped up and just blowing a lot of oxygen out? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I might not be the most eloquent of preachers. I might stumble over my words. But I'm telling you, I've got a passion burning in my bones. Amen. And I'm telling you that God is not finished with any of you yet. None of you. None of you. Young and old. The seal of God is upon you. The hand of God is upon you. Right now, God wants to use you in this moment in time, in all of eternity. We can grow this church. We can see God's mantle come upon this church in great power. We can see countless hundreds of people finding Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whilst there's breath in the lung and blood in the vein, let the power of God rest upon us so that we may preach the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Jeez, I feel like I'm working really hard there. Okay. Okay, next point. Cut the branch down. Come to Calvary. And you know, friends, when you come to Calvary, your miracle will await you. The axe head floated. How many of you know Jesus, friends? Jesus went to the cross. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. The Bible says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And he cried out, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. He conquered sin and he conquered death and he conquered sickness. And he rose from the grave victoriously. What a great miracle. Resurrection power. And the Bible says it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells within. Judy's just telling me that I've got saliva running down my face. My buttons are all open. And can you just give me 5 minutes? I mean, you have a break at work, don't you? This is my break now. Oh, that's right. God, she's pure. She's pure as this driven snow. What a woman. You don't know what she's had to put up with. When I'm not on the cutting edge, you ask how frustrated I am. Cheeky. Okay. So where was I? Come on. I just wished I had some notes here. Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. That's a miracle of resurrection life. Do you know that if you are born again by the Spirit of God, you are a walking miracle. You are a walking miracle. The moment you gave your life to Jesus was the moment that you transferred over from death to life. You are transformed by the power of God's Spirit. You are a vessel fit for the Master's use. You are a cutting-edge sickle in the hands of God. Amen. You are a miracle. And I want to tell you, friends, that to this day, this very day, God wants you to sharpen up. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Make yourself available for the Master's use. Amen. And finally, and I will finish with this. The Bible says, the prophet said to this young guy, he said, pick it up. Today you've got an option. You can leave it there floating and you can sing about it. You can learn about it. You can read books about it. You can go to church and hear your pastor preaching about it. Or you can pick it up for yourself and do something with it. And the big question I ask you today, what are you going to do? Let's pick it up. Let's use it. Let's have that cutting edge restored. Amen. Cutting edge technology is going to fade away. Do you know they tell us that knowledge is doubling every 8 years? The world is getting smarter and smarter. How many of you remember the Jetsons? You remember? And they're in there. Today we're seeing that. But today's technology will be the future's outdated technology. But Jesus never changes. His word never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know, I'm reminded when the Apollo 8 got lost in space. You know what happened? It took 1.5 hours for a computer to find it and to put it back on the track. If it was left to the scientists, it would have taken 1 million years with pen and paper. Let me tell you, friends, we've got a cutting-edge word. And God requires every one of us to be cutting-edge faith. Cutting edge anointing. Let this year be a year of change for every one of us. Can we do that? Yeah. I'm telling you. I've got to tell you this right now. I've told you that I'm 68. I know some of you think, wow, I thought he wouldn't be a year over 50. Well, the truth is, I'm getting on. My body tells me that every day. But there's a fire. And God wants to ignite your heart. We've got to be on the cutting edge. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. And I'm telling you, friends, I'm sharpening you. We're sharpening each other right now. Iron sharpens iron. Every time your pastor preaches, it's iron sharpening iron. Get energized. Let the power of God come upon you. Today is the day of new beginnings. Don't talk about what happened yesterday. God wants to do a new miracle in your life today. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Brother, I just feel, you know, that God is going to do a new work in your life. And you've been like me. You would have had your moments of frustration as well. But never come to that point where you feel you've got nothing to give. You know, you've been loyal. Both of you have been loyal and you've been faithful for so many years. You've got great pastoral hearts. You've got great compassion. But God's not finished with you yet. You know, you're still a handy tool within the hands of God. You've been a faithful servant for so many years, both of you. And I really believe that God is going to restore some of the years that the locusts have eaten. And the favor and the blessing of God is going to continue to come upon you, you guys. So, you know, I'm just branching out now, and I hope that that word means something to you. You know, never just lapse back into apathy or complacency. Put your next foot forward. Keep on going forward. And you're going to see God move in your life in a greater way. And it's not just, I'm not just speaking Christian rhetoric. I'm believing God for that for you. Amen. And for this beautiful lady here, I don't know you from a bar of soap, but I'm reaching out to you today. And I just feel that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And although there have been times in your life where we all experience frustration, but you've had your fair share of frustration and you've struggled and battled in areas of your life. But I want to tell you now that the battle is the Lord's. And as you continue to lean on Him, you're going to see the favor and the blessing of God upon your life. You know, you're not going to struggle and strive. You just need to rest and relax and let God have His way in your life. Don't put yourself under a curse. Don't put yourself under struggle and striving to try and be good. Just allow God to do that work from the inside out. Amen? No struggling, no striving. I really believe that. Does that witness with your spirit? Absolutely. This is a new day for you. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And for this lovely couple here who have also faithfully served the Lord for so long, this is a new day for you. Yes, you are husband and wife. Sheesh, I get so worried when I do that. Yes, you nearly gave me a fright, brother. But you know, continue on. You never lapse into a state where, you know, you're apathetic and you're complacent. But, you know, come into the Word, get sharpened up. Ask God to give you a greater hunger for the Word of the Lord. You know, it's a time like that we're in now that God is raising up the sons of Issachar. And I just feel that you are going to be a daughter and a son of Issachar. You're going to understand the seasons of the times that we're living in. And I really feel that you need to understand what's happening in the world today. Start to get into some good stuff and realize that there are agendas behind the scenes that are working to pull down the church. And you need to be aware of what's happening so that you can stand strong and you can be a mouthpiece for God and you can warn others and teach others as well, because you're armed. You, both of you, you're dangerous because you've got the Word of God within you and you know the agendas of the enemy. You know what's happening. This whole area of segregation with the mandate and everything, that's a ploy of the enemy. You know, I put a post on Facebook yesterday, and it was all about praying for the Ukraine. People used it as a platform to bash each other to pieces. And these are Christians. We're losing focus.
Right.
We've got the anti-vaxxers. We've got the non-vaxxers. There should be no discrimination between any of us.
Right.
People have got freedom of choice. My pastor's a non-vaxxer. So what? That's his choice. But don't use my Facebook ploy, my Facebook group, to bash somebody on the head. We're praying for Ukraine, for crying out aloud. Amen. Come on, let's get it right, friends. Let's get it right. And I just feel that for many of you here today, don't take your eyes off Jesus. You know, yes, you know, we're locked away and we're doing church week after week. And at times things can become very tiring. You know that as a pastor. I know that as a pastor. But let's not lose hope. Let's not throw the towel in. Let's not give up on the inside. Let's keep on keeping on. Because I really believe that the hour and the time is coming when God is going to release His Spirit like never before. But you've got to get back to the cutting edge. You've got to get back to the cutting edge. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. Can I pray for you all here this morning? Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. I thank you, Lord, for these great people here, for every one of them. Lord, there wouldn't be a person here today that hasn't gone through their own personal struggles. We've all gone through the motions, and perhaps there are some who feel as though they're just going through the motions right now. But you know, Father, we're reminded that we're not to despise the small beginnings, but you're doing a new work in our lives, every one of us. Every person here today, you're not just occupying time from the womb to the tomb, but God's got a destiny and a plan and a purpose for you. You become that sharp and sickle in the eyes of God, in the hands of God. And wherever you are, allow God to use you. Never feel that you've got nothing to give. That's a ploy from the enemy. That's exactly how he would want you to feel, that you're too old, you're too young. You don't have what it takes. But the Spirit of the Lord knows your heart. And I just feel that the word that has gone out this morning is for you. God wants to sharpen you up. He wants to thrust you out. He wants you to become part of this great army, this end time army that's going to usher in revival and awakening. God, I pray, move upon this church. Pray, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor David. Thank you for his beautiful wife, Matilda. And I ask you, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that you will work mightily on the lives of these two beautiful people. And at times where they feel so tired and they've given their all, God, I pray that you will sustain and strengthen them, that they would not grow weary in well-doing, but they will feel a new surge of life and power and anointing going through their spirit, giving them the ability to press on and break through during this time where so many people are overcome by fear, anxiety, concerned about life. God, I pray that you will raise up strong, strong men and women in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Well.